Good afternoon to all of you that have joined the meeting. I know that there was a meeting before this one. It can make me to take all of you for granted that we've been together, but it was a subcommittee earlier on. Now it's a fully fledged portfolio committee. I would like to greet all members, ladies and gentlemen. I know that we've invited the Department of Social Development, and which is here, has sent documents on time. Looking forward for a very interesting engagement, and thanks for accepting our invitation. It's a very hectic time now. Well, you know, things are too many. Thanks that you definitely made it. We appreciate it because we've been dealing with the APPs, and we want to mainstream all aspects just as we go. And therefore, that's why we're very important to come and present today so that it gives us an idea moving forward. Honorable members, for the purpose of our meeting, I need to indicate that we did outline the program. There are a bit of amendments based on last week's program, which was adjourned in order for us to go and work in the constituencies on sort of xenophobic issues. Now, it actually made the program to be more tight because other issues that were supposed to have taken place last week had been integrated to the coming week. That's why we're even sitting today when EPCs are also sitting. Actually, we're supposed to be in EPCs as well. But nonetheless, because we have remained behind and we still have to deal with interviews, other shortlists as well. So we've been allowed to come and sit. I will quickly go through the amended second term program, which starts today. Today we have scheduled a briefing by Minister of Social Development on the status and progress made on the integration of people living with disabilities, with a particular focus on the information communication technology and communication sector. As I've indicated, they are going to really do the introduction. They're here, but the minister is not here, but the department has actually made sure that they're here. The other issue which I'm going to start with, because I'm going to reshuffle the items, it will be the shortlist for the Independent Communication Authority. What is in the brackets there is not correct, subcommittee and later committee. Well, maybe Tembingos was indicating is that the subcommittee is going to see first exactly what happened and later is a PC. So meaning that focusing on what the subcommittee has done. The next Tuesday, honorable members, those members who are going to sit for the short list of candidates for SAPC, the subcommittee is going to sit in the morning at 9:30 until 12. Next week. At 12 until 1 o'clock, the shortlisting of candidates for SAPC, it will be the committee coming to adopt those names because they have to be adopted before we can even ATC the names and send the report to the NA table. So, meaning that those who are not in the subcommittee can only start, arrive at 12 for the PC meeting. We're also going to do we've finished our APP, the adoption of our budget votes report. It's going to be done next week. I have just signed off the report, and it's going to be circulated. And if it can be circulated, it's still with the chair of chairs, because there's a procedure now. We take it to chair of chairs first before we distribute them. What the chair of chairs is scared of is that sometimes we do commitments that are above our budget, that we're going to do this, they just want to see if we've moved within what we can be able to afford. So, meaning that you're going to get that report by the end of this week. Day after tomorrow, or Friday latest, so that it can be adopted the coming week. Tuesday, on the 19th, is going to be interviews of candidates of the SAPC, and it will only be a subcommittee on that day, starting very early in the morning, because we have to deal with that on that day only. The 20th, which is Wednesday. Tuesday, it was the 19th, right? Now, on the 20th, is our budget vote debate. That is the communication one. And it's, I do have the right time. Is it at 9:30? I don't think so. It must be in the afternoon. So the time I can see here is wrong. It must be in the afternoon, as far as I remember. Yeah. And then Tuesday, the 26th of May, it's interviews of candidates for ICASA. Why is it? Can't find the separate interview. It is as it's written, and there are reasons for that. So meaning that on Tuesday, the coming week, 26th, is interviews for ICASA. Then next Tuesday, which will be the 2nd of June, here we'll be having the minister doing the briefing. Minister Mutambi is doing the briefing on Memorandum of Incorporation of the SABC, the Broadcasting Charter, and the legislation and governance instruments for various entities under the Department of Communication, which is something that the minister thinks that it should be shared with the committee. And then we are going to be to go to the 9th of June. There it will be progress report by the Minister Mutambi on the state of the digital migration. On Tuesday, the 22nd, I'm suggesting aloud that we had the DTT on the 2nd. I think we need to swap the date. We retain the DTT on the 2nd as it was originally put, because we know that we're getting late with it. So, meaning that the next week we can have some weeks. On the 2nd, we'll still have the progress report on the state of the digital migration. It will remain to be on the 2nd, but you can then take the Memorandum of Incorporation and the Broadcasting Charter and all other stuff to the 9th. So it will be that swap. And then lastly, on Tuesday, the 22nd of June, it will be the briefing on the quarterly of the entities on the quarterly report. The expenditure performance. So we'll try to have a long day, but have them, because it's not so long that we had APPs and so on. So we'll look into the half yearly or quarterly. We'll discuss that, but that is a day slotted for the entities evaluation in terms of the expenditure. Those are amendments. I don't remember. Well, we did adopt our program, but in terms of what happened in terms of the changes, I thought I have to highlight that. Okay. Members, if there is no other matter on that one, I would love to move to the next issue. The next item on the agenda, it is the short list of the CASA councillors, which the subcommittee has done. And I'm going to outline the names to the portfolio committee because they need to be adopted. And then I'm putting this before the portfolio committee, that the subcommittee is mandated to deal with the shortlisting of the CASA councillors that will be interviewed, all of them nominated. A number of nominations that we received amounted to 85. And there are councillors that are shortlisted, which I'm just going to go through to the portfolio committee. And I will request that then the names be adopted. Members, we've got the Dirasa Hai Maoke, Kiabetsu Mudimuin, Lance Rothschild, Lumrom Timde, Therese Mashile, Peter Shabulusa, Peter Zimri, Silo Mulefe, Samson Hantenteni, Yangwayo Kuta, Utenyana Mokhele, Andy Magaso, Kocha. Those are the shortlisted names that I'm putting forward before the members of the Portfolio Committee on Communication for Adoption. Any mover for the adoption of the names, they will be circulated to you members and they will also appear on the ATC. So any mover? Honorable Machoba, moving, seconded by Honorable Sadie. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. So we are through with the issue of the shortlist and adoption of names. Now we'll be focusing on the shortlist, on the interviews that will take place on the dates that I've outlined on the agenda, on our program. Now our program won't change anymore. Change to this program can disorganize us greatly, so we have to stick to it. All right, honorable members. Now, I would need to specially welcome the Department of Social Development that is with us here and indicate that what makes us to be eager to have it during the process where the portfolio committee that we're overseeing, they had to, it was one with telecoms and postal services and communications, but now there's communications aside and there's telecoms. So because now there's been that, we have interacted with them, they were putting up a department because it wasn't there before, you know, it didn't exist that way. So putting up the department is very important for us as members of parliament to see if all the things are integrated at a goal, so that we don't scream later and say, no, you haven't mainstreamed this, you haven't done this. They have presented very good reports of the entities because entities have been established. Our focus area and our main area of attention was the portfolio committee, because there had been a proclamation and there had been some line functions, others going that side and this side. And therefore, because of that, we have noticed as well that there is quite a quick development on the technology, on the ICT, and therefore that quick development does actually take everybody on board. And our portfolio committee has received so many request by the disability sector that has written that they want to come and present. But we then took a decision that before we even engage with the stakeholders, it's important for us to just get a brief from the side of government in terms of the work that they're doing, even before we disappear into communications itself. We actually took advantage of knowing that social development working with disability has been a mainstream area in the president's office in the past, and therefore they do have an overarching knowledge in terms of who's where and who's doing what and how things are working. And we wanted to benefit from that, and we'll take them up in future. Of course, the communication department will do its allocation and deal with its specific areas. But it's important for us to really also have a benefit of an overview, understanding in terms of how things are, because we do as this portfolio committee have the interest of ensuring that we mainstream disability while we're doing our oversight work. On that note, I'm going to allow the department to do a self-introduction of themselves immediately after members have done so. I'll start with members to do self-introduction, then I'll come to the department. Starting with myself is Joyce Moloi Moropa, and I'll move along from the honorable member here.
My name is Moss Bailey. I'm a member of this portfolio committee on communication.
Philip Sutisi, member of the committee.
Sharon Van Skalse, committee member.
Veronica Van Dijk, committee member.
Mandisa Chiliso Machoba, the member of the committee.
Thank you, honorable members. Then we can proceed to the department.
Thank you, Honorable Member, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Members. My name is Tuzan Makwaza. I'm the Acting Director General for the Department of Social Development. Before they introduce themselves, maybe let me take this opportunity to pass an apology for the Minister. Their times are clashing. At first three, we are supposed to be on the Select Committee on Social Services. The Deputy Minister will be landing at 4, so she won't make it to this meeting. Then I'll ask Mr. Mzansi, who's going to lead us with the to introduce himself, then you'll lead us on the presentation.
Mzolisi Tony, the Deputy Director General responsible for disability within the Department of Social Development. I want to thank the Chair and the Honorable Members for inviting us.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Diane Dankeli. I'm with SASA. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Lita Gazanguva. I'm a Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Ministry for Social Development.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Members. My name is Nelly Swanda Bangulu from the Office of the DG, Department of Social Development.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members. I think the intro in terms of why you invited us is so appropriate that we think that this is one area that is going to assist the Department in making sure that both nationally and internationally we are able to use the ICTs to make sure that disabled people generally are able to be mainstreamed and able to effectively participate in the economy of the country. So we're hoping that this is, as the Chair was saying, but an introduction to a long working relationship towards us making sure that when we go, for instance, Chair, this June, we are going to New York to present, to be part of the Conference of State Parties on Disability. And we, next week, we are going to meet with all of the departments to make sure that whatever is going to be presented in New York is going to be the equalization of the country. And also this is, has to do with the post-2015 agenda, which seeks to say how disability will be featured within that agenda. So we are excited about the Chair's interest and the Portfolio Committee's interest in making sure that as DSD we are able to coordinate and facilitate and lead in the area of disability mainstreaming. Chair, the presentation would, as we have said, would focus more on what is happening within the ICTs. And across the globe, persons with disabilities still face significant barriers that obviously limit access to key public services, such as health, education, and information, which necessitate the reduction of opportunities to access the labor market and diminishes their opportunity for independent living. And Chair, you would see that we are still struggling with regards to meeting even the 2% with regards to employment of disabled people within government departments. With information and communication technologies increasingly integrated into every aspect of the modern world, these technologies have become a positive force of transformation and crucial element of any personal development, empowerment, and institutional framework for an inclusive development. Chair, ICT can be an enabler of the social inclusion of persons with disabilities in addressing the remaining barriers still limiting the inclusion of persons with disabilities. for instance, in the area, as I've said, of labor, that disabled people are not able to be involved. When ICTs are available, affordable and accessible, they significantly improve the inclusion of persons with disabilities in all aspects of society.
Okay, can I request that the mic comes closer to your mouth?
Sure. Thanks, Chair. I guess it's important, Chair, to look at what is possible. Around the world and even in South Africa, there are examples of best practice. We have currently websites that are used that, for instance, government is using training on e-learning with regards to risk management, for instance. And recently, when engaging the Treasury, we realized that a blind person is not able to independently navigate, the training in using the e-learning environment. So we had to engage Treasury to make sure that is made accessible, because there were just few features that needed to be included so that a blind person is able to navigate that. The chat system, audio, video, text, sign language, those are some of the things that we can use. The online job and training, virtual collaboration. There are issues around e-health, for instance. We have realized that also it's expensive to make for deaf persons to make sure that sign language is accessible to them as a medium of communication. And technology can be used to make sure that they broaden the space so that people are able to use that. Accessibility of software, screen reading. For instance, as a person with one arm, I've just done a shoulder op, which limits my one arm to type a longer document. So there is a software that I can use in terms of making sure that with I don't need the arm in terms of me able to print documents or to develop documents. There are accessible e-books and e-documents that are used. There are various applications that are now available, whether you use a cell phone or an iPad, that enables all various types of disability to navigate or access these applications. There's also an open source smartphones and tablets that we use. For instance, currently the Department of Home Affairs, for instance, you don't have to go there to want to know whether your passport is ready or your ID is ready. They send an SMS, which means that even a deaf person is able to get that information quicker and be able to access those services much more easily than before. So these are some of the things that we've done. Earlier on, the Japanese worked with disabled people, in specifically disabled people in South Africa, because more blind people were not able to access documents. So they have a program that they call it DAISY, which when you use it, it converts the document so that you are able to get a voice over in terms of understanding what the document is all about. So these are some of the things that South Africa or disabled people across and organizations of disabled people are able to engage on in terms of ICTs. The NDP recognizes that many persons with disabilities are not able to develop their own full potential due to a number of barriers that have to be addressed. Physical barriers which may prevent persons with disabilities from accessing educational facilities, information barriers which may leave persons with disabilities without use of essential educational materials. Communication barriers in education settings which may prevent persons with disabilities from accessing information and participating fully in learning experience. When I did my studies at UCT, this was what was made available to us in terms of the master's program I was involved in. And even academic institutions are now beginning to open up for disabled people so that because I was able to dictate the information that I needed to write on, and then a blind person was typing it for me because I wasn't able to type quicker. So these are some of the things that we're able to do. In looking at the UN Conventions on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, when we look at Article 8, and here we're talking about what South Africa has done, because we're late in responding to, in submitting our report to the UN, and we're now covering the period from 2008 to 2012. So the current baseline that I've shared with the members of the committee is the period on how South Africa has fared with regards to disability from 2008 to 2012. So currently what Cabinet has approved for public comments is a periodic report which covers, which we're supposed to have been presented by last year May, and that we're already late now in terms of presenting that report. So we are able to capture how South Africa is progressing around integration of disability. However, what we're presenting now is what is the progress between 2008 and 2012 with regards to various departments. On awareness raising, which is Article 8 of the Convention, the Department of Basic Education, in collaboration with the Government of Communication and Information Services, CSIS, produced a broadcast awareness raising program on national television and subsequently distributed DVDs on the rights of children with disabilities to attend school in the communities in which they live. Community radio station, through predominantly local action by organizations of persons with disabilities, increasingly feature interviews and programs aimed at raising awareness on the rights of persons with disabilities. This is an important development as it reaches marginalized rural communities where entrenched traditional beliefs isolate persons with disabilities from their communities and from opportunities. With regards to information on disability services and the rights of consumers with disabilities is available on government department's website. For instance, the Department of Social Development, Department of Health and Department of Labor, Home Affairs, and the Tusong Education portal on the Department of Basic Education website provide online information, but these are often difficult to navigate and not always accessible to persons with visual impairment, something that I mentioned earlier. Websites of organizations of and for persons with disabilities mainly contain impairment-specific information on the rights of persons with disabilities and the convention, although not all are accessible for persons with visual impairments. Invaluable work is being done for these organizations, with some commendables being undertaken. For example, the Sponge Project, run by activists with disabilities as an SMS information service at extremely low operational cost. These are some of the examples that these departments are involved in. The issue around blind people, if a document has got blocks and cells, it's difficult, so it needs to be converted so that it's in words, and then it's difficult to either braille or put it in into JAWS. With regards to Article 9, accessibility, the Electronic Communication Act 2005 constitutes umbrella legislation addressing the universality of accessibility. The Independent Communication Authority of South Africa, which is the ICASA, is mandated through the ECA to license operators and regulate activities in the electronic communication and broadcasting service. These are some of the legislation and policies that are progressive, that are advancing how we would use ICTs in South Africa. The principle of universal access has been mainstreamed across communication legislation, including the Postal Services Act of 1998, the Post Bank Limited Bank Act of 2010, the Independent Communication Authority Act of 2000, and the ICT Charter of 2011, and the Broadcasting Digital Migration Policy, which is what the chairperson was mentioning also around ICT, and the National Broadcasting Policy of 2010. Although insufficient attention has been paid to minimum norms and standards that will guarantee universal access for persons with disabilities, hearing and intellectual impairments, these are some of the challenges that needs to be addressed. ICASA released a code of on persons with disabilities as required by Section 70 of the ECA, as well as Section 2H of the Postal Services Act. This code provides and regulates key aspects of access to ICT services for persons with disabilities and compels ICT services providers to comply with its regulation requirements. And having been participated in some of the processes of ICASA, I can understand the progress that has been advanced thus far in terms of making sure that service providers in these areas are sensitized and are continue to sensitize. As a result, ICASA is a disability forum that is able to support the ICASA board in making sure that the service providers are able to be sensitized. The Department of Communication is currently finalizing a sector strategy for persons with disabilities in consultation with organizations of persons with disabilities, expert manufacturers of ICT equipment, regulators, and standard generating bodies. These are some of the work that is being done. A disability portal, the National Accessibility Program, was launched in 2008. The reason why I was saying, Chair, that it's important for us to start this conversation, because these are some of the initiatives that have been started but are now stalling because there isn't a driver who is interested in making sure that these innovative initiatives are advanced and able to benefit disabled people. And one would want to follow up on some of these. The initiative has, however, not progressed as planned and is currently under review. So that's one thing that we would need to follow up. The SABC, as the national public broadcaster, is required to broadcast information accessible to all. Progress has been slow due to financial constraints, but selected daily television news bulletins have sign language interpreting services as well as subtitling. And that's also quite important, especially if there are some of those key broadcasting events where the president is making a national is giving a national information that must be understood, especially with regards now to xenophobia. We need to make sure that subtitling is there and interpreting services are available. so that even people who are deaf would be able to hear what the president is saying. Blind SA receives an annual government grant to run a braille services for clients in South Africa and some African countries at affordable prices. And we beginning to make sure that at least braille services are available in each province, and it's a basic information tool that is supposed to be available for blind people. Article 16, which is freedom from exploitation, violence and abuse, information on any form of public assistance, support services or facilities provided by government departments is very difficult for persons with disabilities or families of children with disabilities to access. There were instances where a mentally disabled child was abused in Soweto, and that it has been difficult to get information out of the victim, and that the case does not go any further than it is just reported on newspapers. So ICT is therefore very critical in those cases. Personal mobility, provisioning of assistive devices is prioritized on rehabilitation budgets, although waiting periods between date of application and date of issue remain a challenge. Accurate and updated statistics are not available, but attention is being paid to include issuing of assistive devices on the district health information system. So this is what it's being done. The government is having what we call NESPIS, which is National Integration Social Protection Information System, which tracks an individual person or a child in terms of how that person is able to access information. If a child is born, then the Department of Social Development, the Department of Home Affairs is supposed to make sure that there's a birth certificate. Department of Health is supposed to make sure that the child is immunized. So all of those things, the NESPIS system is able to make sure that there's coordination of those services, and the value chain has an impact with regards to how people benefit from that. Freedom of expression and opinion and access to information, which is Article 21 of the UN Convention. It is a fact that persons with disabilities do not have equal access to information intended for the general public, which is what I mentioned earlier, in accessible formats because of the barriers discussed under Article 6 and 7. Article 22, respect for privacy. Persons with disabilities enjoy the right to privacy of personal health and rehabilitation information on an equal basis with others, which is actually something that is quite important for disabled people. Article 24, education. The DP introduced the Learner Unit Record Information Tracking System in 2008. To track individual learners, including learners with disabilities. It should be noted that the equality of the data is not always reliable and up-to-date, and currently tracks only learners who are enrolled in special schools. So this means that learners, disabled learners who are in regular schools are not necessarily tracked. So this is only talking to those that are in special schools, which gives a distorted information in terms of how, as a country, we are integrating or mainstreaming disabled children into education. With regards to health, which is Article 25, as discussed under Article 9, accessibility to health facilities for persons with disabilities in general remain a major challenge. This is because of lack of access to the physical environment, lack of access to information in accessible formats. This is something that I think this even the Deputy Minister has been pushing, especially with regards to HIV and AIDS, that a blind person would not know how to use, for instance, a condom in this case, in order to protect himself, because it's not made in an accessible manner for the person to use that. But because of raising of awareness and because of intervention with regards to ICTs, we're able to improve in those areas now, and that these things are becoming possible even to blind people. The activism of organizations of persons with disabilities over the past 10 years has raised awareness of not only the prevalence of HIV and AIDS among persons with disabilities, but also the challenges they experience, as I'm saying, in accessing preventative information and effective treatment as a result of attitudinal and communication barriers. So we are moving, Chair, I must say, in a manner that is progressive. Article 26, which talked about habilitation and rehabilitation, speaks to lack of accessible information on rehabilitation services. It's important, this area, Chair, because it eliminates any possibilities of severe disability with regards to a person who gets these services quicker. Article 30, which talks to participation in cultural life, creation, recreation, leisure, and sport. The South African National Parks, under whose authority major tourism attractions such as the Kruger National Park and Table Mountain Fall, has progressively been working with disability organizations on improving accessibility for tourists with physical and visual disabilities, which is available on this website to persons with visual disability, and provides detailed accessible information for each of its national parks. And disabled people are gradually able to also participate and use these environments. With regards to the Department of Social Development, I've basically mentioned some of the issues that things that are happening within the Department of Communication, ICASA, SABC, in terms of their mandates, SABS, what they can do in terms of what we are finding out with regards to the baseline report that I've shared with you just now. The DSC is committed to the agenda of social transformation that is embodied in the principle of social justice and the Bill of Rights contained in our constitution. We endeavor to create a better life for the poor, vulnerable, and excluded people in our society. And the minister, since the move of the two functions, that is children and people with disabilities, have begun to look at our footprint in terms of our services and how that promotes the rights of people with disabilities, because we have to use the rights-based approach. And I think that with regards to how we see how disabilities mainstream within the government, we're saying that this is the process by which government and other stakeholders ensure that persons with disabilities participate equally with others in any activities and services intended for the general public, such as education, health, employment, and social services. Barriers to participation need to be identified and removed. Possibility requiring changes to law, policies, institutions, and environment. Mainstreaming requires a commitment at all levels and needs to be considered across all sectors and built into new and existing legislation, standards, policies, strategies, and plans. Adopting universal design and implementing reasonable accommodation are two important strategies. This is how we see mainstreaming within the department. Disability mainstreaming training has been, as a department, we've been able to conduct the mainstreaming training in all 9 provinces, with approximately 600 delegates, including state departments, NGOs, DPOs, local municipalities, and persons with disabilities. The disability mainstreaming training includes reasonable accommodation and accessibility support through ICTs. And I think I must say, Chair, that the Deputy Minister has been quite strong in championing that in the provinces and the children that have now graduated to start in tertiary education. They are able to, we are collaborating with ICA and AXA and MTN in making sure that relevant technology is available for those students. We were able to provide those technologies to a student at Pretoria University, and we were able also to go to a special school in Northwest, where information that would enable blind children to scan a textbook that they're able to read it through the computer. The training includes the following as essential means and mechanism with ICT: electronic signage, physical access, transport, communication, adaptive accessible technology, building information through alternative or adaptive formats. And this has been quite critical for us to make sure that parents of disabled children are also involved in this training. The DSD has funded national organization in the development of promotional material to promote communication and awareness. The department has provided training and provision of adaptive technology and software to persons with disabilities to promote inclusion and integration. And this is what we are doing at a small scale. That is why Chair was saying that as a department alone, we would not be able to achieve what government is intending to do in terms of its obligation through the UN Convention. But I think the portfolio committee would be wise in terms of making sure that all of the departments are able to come and present in terms of what is it that they are doing with regards to using ICT to transform the lives of disabled people. And we think that in us making sure that we're sharing the baseline report with the portfolio committee will be able to critically engage other departments. Chair, in conclusion, with what we think should happen moving forward, a serious consideration should be given to the use of ICT as an enabler to sharpen the impact of service delivery and participation thereof to the widest extent possible for virtually all disabled people in the country. This necessitates compelling line function departments to use the latest ICT technology to enhance access to basic services. Each line function department will be required to innovate in keeping with international best practice. The National Integrated Social Protection Information System, as I've said earlier, NESPIS, under the sub-outcome 5, which is optimal systems to strengthen coordination, integration, planning, monitoring, and evaluation of social protection services, which is what also the department, because we're leading on outcome 13, but it's important for us to make sure that with regards to sub-outcome 5, we also participate effectively. Has the potential to combine and integrate government information systems such that service delivery can be tracked at any individual level, thus ensuring that each citizen accesses the relevant basket of services at each milestone. As I've mentioned earlier on, that the child is born and all the departments are participating in the progressive development of the child till the child reaches adulthood. And for us, we're saying ICT is critical in ensuring that happens. ICT plays a critical role in allowing the state to provide efficient and responsive services to its citizens. and we think that a chair, that the committee should be able to even call all the departments and making sure that we are part of that, so that at least we're working in tandem with regards to making sure that because this is an opportunity to, especially to those severely disabled people, people in disabled people in rural areas, women with disabled children, you know, that are abandoned by their husbands or boyfriends, and these are some of the things that could ease that burden in our view. With that, I thank you, Chair, and I thank the committee.
Thank you very much. Quite detailed, and that was a mouthful. It gave us the entire sketch of how far our issues. But now, honourable members, I'll allow you, if there are issues that you need to find out, to interact with, you can be able to ask questions or contribution, Honourable Van Beek and Honourable Van Dyk, followed by Honourable Teddy, in that order. That Honourable Van Beek.
Thank you, Chair, Van Schalkwyk.
My apologies, Van Schalkwyk. I want to call it correctly.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I want to commend the department on the presentation of that they've just made, and I think they basically covered all the grounds. However, I've seen that there's legislation dated back to as far as 2005 on the accessibility of people with disabilities, and my concern is just, or my question is, do we have a monitoring tool on the implementation of these acts? Because it's good that we have something on paper, but how do you monitor the implementation of these acts or this legislation to ensure that indeed this legislation advances the interests of the disabled people? And what kind of monitoring tools we have in place to ensure that indeed not only government but also the private sector ensures that they implement this legislation effectively. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Van Dyk. Honourable Van Dyk.
My question is also relating to monitoring. I actually want to know if the department have an idea of how many DVDs or videos are actually put out per province. Just to get an idea, is there statistics that indicate how many disabled people, how do you decide? Do you just go according to stats and then put out the DVDs? And also, the material that is being provided by GCIS, I read in one of the previous, or it was presented to us, that GCIS is the Braille documentation that was printed previously. It actually went down to 4,500. The total of print for disabled people is going down. I'm not sure precisely if it's because of budget reasons, but is there an indication of how many copies of news or information does reach people with disabilities? I would also like to know more about the Sponge project. I see that it is mentioned here, and then also what also interests me is the Blind Essay receives a grant to run run Braille services, and I'm also curious to know who's monitoring that, because how's the money spent, if it's also supposed to go to African countries as mentioned. And then you mentioned that there's a learner unit record information tracking system that was the DBE. And it's also mentioned that it's the data is not always reliable. And that's a bit, if the data is not correct, how can you actually provide proper service, or who runs it? That's my question. Who's in charge of making sure that the information that gets back to you is actually reliable? Yeah, I think that will... And then also, you mentioned about that training, the 600 delegates, including State Department, NGOs, etc. I want to know how many disability, disabled people are actually accommodated. And also those Japanese legals per province. Can we get the info on that also? Thank you.
Honourable member, thanks. The next on the list, yes, it's yourself, Honourable Teddy.
Let me appreciate the presentation, but just a few quick issues to seek clarity on. One is with regard to the 2% target, because I would have thought there would be a slide which gives us an idea in terms of how we do it with regard to the employment of people with disabilities in government departments and our parastatals. Secondly, because I'm raising this thing because you remember we've been postponing this due date for quite long. Do we have clear mechanisms to ensure that some interventions to ensure that we are able to move with speed, to ensure that departments do comply with regard to the 2% employment of people with disabilities? Secondly, is with regard to awareness. I think there was a slide which talks to awareness. I don't remember which article 9 or so. I'm raising this thing because quite often when you ask departments of the budget that has been allocated to a department, how much has been utilized for programs directly targeting people with disabilities, in most instances people will tell you, nah, are we not able perhaps going forward as an intervention to say, can't you then, as a budget is allocated to you, put a certain percentage of some sort to say, can you ensure that at least 1%, for example, of the budget that you allocated, you dedicated to programs targeting people with disabilities, so that at least we have something tangible, and also come up with some tracking mechanisms to ensure that indeed programs are taking place in departments and in our parastatals targeting people with disabilities. The second last one is with regard from the electoral commission point of view. I'm raising this thing in relation to the right to secret. Article, I don't remember what article is that. What progress has been made in that regard to ensure now we're going to elections next year? What progress has been made to ensure that we are able to protect the right to progress, to secrecy for people with disabilities when it comes to voting. And lastly, there was a slide which talks to government grant for Blind South Africa. I'm interested in how much is that grant that has been given to Blind South Africa on an annual basis for programs targeting persons with disabilities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tatit.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is on communication barriers in educational testing. I would like to find out if there are special programs with the schools that are not meant for disabled people, because we have parents who are in denial and send their children to schools where there are no facilities for their children. You have some campaigns to, you know, as an intervention measure to discourage them from doing that. And on the disability portal that was launched in 2008 and never see the light of day. Can we maybe be informed of the figures, the money that you spent on this aborted mission? And you say you're going to review, but there are no reasons given why it didn't take off as planned. And from 2008 to date, I think we should be having a report as to what were the reasons for not for the project not taking off. The other one is on training that we sometimes at the committee do oversight. If we can know the physical location of the centers where training took place, and what role you play in as far as the placement is concerned after training, or you train people who are already maybe doing some work, or people who are just looking for skills for them to be empowered. And also a breakdown of the trainees in terms of race and gender, so you can assess progress on transformation.
Thanks, Honorable Justice. Thanks, Honorable Members, all of you. Can I then request, because this is quite a lot, can I request the department to go through the responses to members?
Thank you, Chair. Right, it's quite a lot. Chair, we also appreciate the interrogative questions that have been raised to us, and we're hoping that also the one approach that we would want to propose is that we also formalize some of the responses, so that especially some of the key information that is needed, that we will send a written response in terms of those. But suffice to say that we will respond on some of the questions that were put to us. Chair, currently, I guess the move from the Department of Women to the Department of Social Development has actually kind of delayed some of the activities or targets that we were involved in. Specifically, one target that we thought we could conclude on was the development of the disability rights policy. Chair would recall that we initially, way back in 1997, had the Integrated National Disability Strategy, which was a guide that was taken from the national instrument, which we called the 22 standard rules. So after 2007, when the UN convention was South Africa obligated itself to the UN convention, we then had to review that policy. So we're now in the process of making sure that we're able to domesticate the UN convention, and we're hoping that the disability rights policy will then be able to provide guidance on all these other legislation or policies that are there towards integration of disabled people. But also we're saying that we need to have clearer standards. If we talk about the facilities for disabled people, we must be able to say what are the standards that will tell you that this facility is an accessible facility to everyone, to be accessed by everyone. So we're looking at making sure that as a department, we work with other departments to look at those standards. But also, the question was that how are we going to make sure that policies and legislations that are there, would begin to bear fruit in terms of changing the lives of South African citizens. And that with regards to the policy, we're hoping that we will develop tools that would guide those that are implementing policies in the provinces to say this is how you would ensure that the policy is now or the legislation is effective with regards to those. We working, Chair, I was also saying, Chair, that it's going to be important that we also get a second bite of invitation from the portfolio committee, because we're hoping that by the end of June, we would have consolidated the periodic report, which gives the status of mainstreaming of disability in South Africa with regards to everybody, including civil society organizations that are there, that are supposed to input on that. So we're hoping that with regards to some of the questions that have been raised, for instance, the issue around the 2% target, with regards to 2013 report from the CEE, we're still less than 1% with regards to progress as both government and private sector in progressing towards meeting the 2%. So we would be able to concretize the information with regards to say, at this point in time, where are we with regards to us meeting 2%, and therefore, what is it that needs to be done by Department of Labor, by Department of Administration, DPSA, which is charged to make sure that departments are able to employ disabled people as an obligation that government has made. So we will be able to give that information, Chair. The issue with regards to how do we know how many disabled people, how many DVDs must be given out and into that particular area. We're working with STEF South Africa so that at least we're able to gauge in terms of each municipality, each district, what is it, the prevalence of disability within that area, so that we're able to say, and it would aggregate that in terms of how many blind people, how many deaf persons, you know, how many people with physical disabilities are there. And therefore, that information is able to help us. We're currently working with STEPS SA so that we're able to provide information that begins to guide us in terms of the kind of inequality that exists in these areas, whether it's municipality or district. So we're hoping that we would be able to, in a sense, provide that information to the committee, because we want to make sure that if the committee calls the Department of Labor, the committee is able to say, look, you how are you doing in this area? How are you addressing this matter? So with regards to making sure that the issue around the portal, we're working with the Department of Science and Technology and in making sure that we were able to revive the issue around the portal, because it was a collaboration between the presidency when we were still the Office on the Status of Persons with Disability was still located there. And we were able, therefore, to make sure that we involve all the organizations of disabled people. But regrettably, Chair, some of these initiatives are done because of the funding that comes from outside of the country. And then when that funding dries up, there isn't a sustained approach to make sure that the initiative would not necessarily die off, but that South Africans will then take charge of that initiative. And it's something that we would be able to concretize and respond to the committee in concrete terms, in terms of where is it now, what, who is driving it, what is it saying, because the minister is also trying to clarify her mandate with regards to how disability as a cross-cutting mandate would the minister be able to drive in terms of making sure that other departments also come on board in terms of making sure that they take also responsibility with regards to education, health, and economy. We will actually able to do that with the committee. Also, the issue about how many people we have trained, where are they, and what's the breakdown in terms of that training, and how many disabled people were involved. We will be able to provide that information to the committee in more detail, because we think that the committee could then, as it was suggested by the member, that the honourable member, that you would want to go, when you go to those areas and see the evidence for yourself, and that if it's not so, then you are able to say, look, your training is necessarily not effective, so you need to actually up the game with regards to that. I'm just looking at some of the questions that I might have skipped. With regards to the vehicles that we got from the Japanese, these are 10 vehicles, and each province has got one vehicle that is assisting the province with regards to when disabled people are mobilized, especially those that have that are wheelchair users. They're able then to be assisted with regards to transportation. Currently, the Deputy Minister had a Mikonzo Imbizo at Don Donald in Mpumalanga, and that the province had to bring the combi so that people from that area are able to access the venue with ease and able to travel to there. So it's something that we're working with the Japanese, and that we're hoping that those can be multiplied in terms of how many we could have in a province, and they could then assist disabled people with mobility to reach those areas that they would not reach under normal circumstances. I'm not sure whether, Chair, I've missed some of them.
No, I think you did cover it. Honourable Joseph, this is the hand is up.
Yes,
Chair.
The one that is left out is about the discontinuation of the project that was launched in 2008 and never continued. Because they are going to review. If you review, you review something that, you know, didn't go on well. Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, I missed what you actually said. Sorry.
There's a joint venture, something like that, that was launched in 2008. To date, it's never saw the light of day, and there's a review. So we'd like to know the reasons why it didn't take place and how much was spent on that launch.
Yes, Honourable Zedi.
I think on the 2% target, as much as you have indicated that you provide us with information, you come back to us with information in terms of how our department is performing, including parastatals. How long can it take for us to know the status in terms of where are the departments now? With regard to the implement of people with disabilities. And just the last one is with regard to the there are companies that are fronting persons with disabilities to provide services for government departments. Do you have a tracking mechanism either at your level or together with the National Treasure to be able to track such companies? Because that has been one critical aspect where persons with disabilities have been fronted without necessarily benefiting in the long run, just to ensure that that particular company does get a tender or whatever to provide services for government departments. Yes.
Okay. Would you like to proceed with responses, Honorable Tony? Or maybe should I also put mine, but maybe let's just quickly clean up the questions that came as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Maybe I didn't mention the word project, but I said portal. I was saying that this is a project that was done through the presidency, and I wouldn't be able to give the exact figures now, Chair, but I'll provide the exact figures in terms of the money that was invested in the project, and also provide information in terms of what is it that we're planning to do, because we need to get into some negotiation in terms of how we would revive the portal. Because it's quite critical. There's some work that has been done, research work, and some initiatives that have been developed in terms of how disabled people can find some of the things easier to do than it would be if the portal was not assisting. So we would be able to provide that information to the committee, so that at least if the committee is able to make intervention with regards to how the committee thinks that we can move with that, that would be helpful. With regards to those, the information of 2%, Chair would be able to provide that information at least latest by the end of this month that we're in. Even before then, we just need to make sure that we collate the information and make sure that the information is verified by the departments that will be giving us. We have not been able to concretize our approach with regards to tracking how disabled people are used. We are aware that, I think the Honourable Member is correct, that there is exploitation of disabled people with regards to funding to get economic gains, because the South African policy and legislation is such that it enables disabled people also to participate in the economy of the country. But unfortunately, this has got a negative spin-off sometimes where disabled people are used. However, what has happened is that disabled people themselves has formed what they call the Disability Economy Disability Economic Trust, Consent Trust, which begins to target opportunities for disabled people. And I will also give information to the committee, so that when you invite the civil society, you are able also to directly invite the Disabled Concerns Trust, so that they're able also to tell you directly in terms of what progress are they making and how are they generating economic spin-off for disabled people. And I think that would be able to do. But in a sense, I think, Honourable Member, we're still battling in terms of making sure that disabled people are not exploited. We have been also working with IDC in terms of making sure that we prepare potential disabled business people to access those opportunities within IDC. But even that has been quite difficult because the level that is expected in terms of one accessing that those funds is quite high, and therefore most of businesses that are run by disabled are not able to match up to that requirement. But however, there are some disabled people. For instance, there's one disabled person business in Free State, I think in Belcom, that has been able to access those funds and able to engage in a business that trains disabled people how to drive a vehicle. It's a driving school. So there are some progress that is made here and there, but I guess we need to see a larger pool that of disabled people benefiting from these opportunities. So we will do that, Chair. Thanks.
No, thanks. That was very mouthful. The comments I'm going to make, you don't need to respond to all of them. Some of them, maybe you can be able to give us some information. I know there's quite a lot of information in the department that we can benefit from. The first issue is the integration of the disabled children at schools. Normally as members of parliament, we do go out and do the back-to-school campaign once the schools reopen. And part of the biggest problem we get, mothers with disabled children struggle a lot. To get their children assessed, to get them placed. It's a cry that has been there over a long period. And it's very painful to see the mothers not knowing. Actually, I suspect that at district level, there's lack of capacity to assist the parents. With that kind of work. And I think we need to be assisted as members of parliament that our back-to-school campaigns, we don't go to schools, ask them, go back again, ask them what you want. But once we capture things such as this, we're able to go back and we're able to assist the communities because that's part of our role. So if we can have a way, particularly once the schools are reopening, we'll be coming in the forefront to assist members as well with information, particularly on this area from your side. That can be of big help. The other issue is the awareness program. We still have many other communities and parents who keep the disabled children at home. So those children, when they're kept, you know, whether we talk ICT and disability, it will never work for those kids because they're just kept there. They don't get any access of any education. Parents are not aware, are not conscientized sufficiently, and those communities that disability is not a sin, but it should be mainstreamed. And therefore, as part of the package of the assisting members, we do need to make vibrant those awareness programs. Because, well, ICT, why would we even talk about it if we still have them closed and locked at home and not necessarily being mainstreamed at the various schools? When we talk about this e-learning, you know, those are the things that will be far-fetched for them. E-book, you know, children of today no longer carry the books. They tell you all the textbooks are in their tablets, and they're able to, if they carry them, it's just complimentary, but actually, then they're left out. Then there's no point for us to actually say we've got a booming ICT, we're developing as a country, we're leaving out people who are disabled, who cannot be tracked. You know, it comes to my second point where we said even the tracking system, the members have raised that already. It leaves out, it doesn't have correct statistics, and it excludes others that high school takes. You know, all those, they need to be fixed, and we need to have the correct data once we deal with this matter. Yes, you talk about the progressive laws relating to the regulator. I think this is an area-specific aspect for particularly portfolio committee and communication. It is important for us, you know, to find the measurement in terms of how good does this assist. You know, it can be a good policy or a law that is there, but if it's then in terms of implementation and still leave out disability, it's as good as being written. So I know that you've got country reports. I don't know whether maybe someone can capture to see the impact of the kind of current developments and where we are in terms of that mainstream. That can also help us quite a lot. Members have raised the issue of the 2% target. which is a very critical aspect. It's one area that government has failed over and over with a measurement that they've put for themselves over a number of years. Various factors, you know, I'm sure Mr. Tony knows, because we've been engaging, even from the side of public service and administration. There are various factors, there are a number of reasons that departments give, but the fact of the matter is that 2% doesn't actually come on board. I still believe that we need to have a tracking system that is quite easy to help the department, assist them, to actually place those people who are on the database as well. There are people who are capable, have seen that, who can be placed in various departments. I think we need a direct role that looks specifically into that area. The placing was, I know that they used to place people and they disappear. Nobody knows what makes them leave the public service. Is it the environment? Is it because they are bored? Or is what's the actual reason? We were still awaiting a report that says, why do they leave? Because it's difficult to even get that job. But once they don't stay, why? What are the reasons? Is it the transport factor? There are no transport facilities for disabled people, etc., etc. Those are the things we need to robustly interrogate and engage with them. But also, your situatedness, we are at an advantage to also assist come up with some programs. And I know possibly there's something, but we don't know about it, you know, we don't get it. And then we need those things to be amplified thoroughly. Okay, now, there's an issue of linking with the collaboration in government. You know, I remember there was a time when we were told by the School of Government that they can put up a sign language class here. Of course, I don't know why it didn't happen. Some years back, members of parliament who are public representatives need to know how to speak. Because it's a communication barrier if we can't talk to them. We actually went with ourselves to oversight at Busili in Limpopo. Yes, where I was with you, and we realized that really some of the things we can do them in the country, we're not. The Braille books, which take so long, it takes 18 months for them to produce a Braille book for a child who can't see. 18 months is beyond the 1 year of learning program. If that child then is after 18 months, the whole year has gone past. It's so wrong. It's really, this country, South Africa, we can't be at that level. You know, and with this technology, how can we benefit the disabled children? I can hear that there can be initiatives that can be good. How do we speed up those initiatives, integrating the developing technology and making sure that a disabled child who can't see doesn't wait for 18 months for one textbook? You know, so if it's 18 months, the curriculum has passed, something else comes, you know, really, what are we doing to the disabled sector in our society? So now, very practical thing that relates to our work. I know that there was a lull and a complaint and a fight with some disabled sector or with the SABC in terms of mainstreaming. I think those are the issues we really want, you know, because they also help wherever they are in terms of assisting, but we also have to do a direct intervention into those areas. If they feel SABC is not covering them and it's according to the Constitution, I think we must all be worried, particularly ourselves from the oversight area. You know, the MDDA, for instance, we reach the disabled people in the communities. You know, the issues that I talk about, districts that can place disabled children, do we use the community radio stations, community media to talk about these things? Has it reached there? Do we mainstream them into that area? The GCIS, ICASA with the progressive laws. You know, there's Films and Publications board now, which has came up with a very new law. Are they also on board in terms of this new law where there are public hearings? All those issues are very critical and need us to interrogate them thoroughly. Obviously, we might not finish all these issues, but if there's any issues that you need to clear, you can. But it shows that you've got so much work that you can continuously engage. Maybe the last issue is, because we were in the presidency and we're doing the mainstreaming, now we are in social development. The difficulties possibly of being in social development, is there something like that? Or we are fine still that you think, even in social development we're mainstreaming, it's okay. Just to throw that question as the last aspect. Thanks.
asking the DG to say whether she's going to take that one. I think one would want to say that in South Africa, the department that has been quite vocal and leading with regards to doing something about improving the lives of disability was the Department of Social Development, then called Welfare Department. And it still has not let that experience die down. I guess the issue now with the introduction of the UN Convention requires government to look at a body that would facilitate the mainstreaming of disability, and that to this end, the minister, I guess with the president, they are putting together the presidential working group on disability, and we're hoping that the first meeting will, because we've finished now discussing with disabled people and all the other departments that are affected as a technical committee, and that the documentation is now escalated to the president, so that at least the preparation for the first meeting could be arranged. And some of these issues that we are raising will also be shared between the president, the minister, and the disability sector in terms of how appropriate is this decision that has been taken that we move disability function to social development. And we're hoping that there will be progress or direction or guidance after that meeting, and that also the minister would be able to position herself in terms of how, as a department, we need to deal with disability. We have already taken a decision that it's not going to be business as usual within the Department of Social Development. However, what we're going to do, we are going to use a rights-based approach in making sure that we elevate services to disabled people. We will also be able to share that information, and I'm sure by the time the committee invites the disability sector, they will be able to share with the committee in terms of their engagement at that level of the presidential working group. The next question, Chair, that you think that you raised was around awareness program. And that as how far are we with regards to this? Because in your view, it doesn't seem to be effective, because still we have children that are locked up and are isolated. They're not getting the services that they're supposed to get. We had worked in the previous administration, Chair, with the Department of Education in terms of the Access to Education for All program, and that we are in the process of revising that, and there are some committees that are put in place. For instance, you would recall, Chair, that there was an issue about a child here, a court case in the Western Cape, that a severely disabled child that the Department of Education was given a responsibility to correct what has happened, that the child was not able to access mainstream education, and that the department is meeting with the Department of Social Development, Education and Health in looking at how best we need to make sure that not only this child in the Western Cape, but children in all the other provinces that are in that situation are able to access education. And that is work in progress, and I'm sure that in the process of us coming back and with the other departments, the Department of Education will be able to
to update the committee in terms of what progress are we making in that regard. It's moving slowly, Chair, because that case is it's been some time that has been it has been decided. After our Busile visit, Chair, we had gone there again with AXA and MTN, and the Deputy Minister was leading the team, and that we're able to put a laboratory in that school that enables the children to be able to access textbooks through using the technology in the lab that was provided. And we're hoping that it's beginning. The Deputy Minister has gone there to look at the impact, and we're developing a report to look at what changes or transformation has happened after the laboratory was put in place. You correct with regards to SABC that there are still some complaints from disabled people that at various intervals when important information is shared on a TV platform with the president or with any significant figure in South Africa, in certain cases there is no subtitling and there's no sign language interpretation that is provided, services that is provided. So it's something that even with the last month, last year's Disability Month, we, the Deputy Minister and the Minister, were quite vocal around that, and that in a sense, if you want to be interviewed, the minister must be, if it has to be interviewed on TV, then we must provide the sign language interpreter, other than the SABC providing that. So these are some of the things that we're trying to work with SABC so that they become part of programming and part of the tools that SABC is able to provide to make sure that the information becomes accessible. So we'd work on that. It's work in progress. We're hoping that, Chair, with regards to the periodic report, which is the report that is supposed to be submitted through DERCO to UN, that we'll be able to share the report with the committee when it has been when we've received the public comments on what the information we have from the various departments, and we'll be able to share that so that the government is able also to be appraised on what progress are we making specifically on ICT. We might be able to extrapolate from the report areas where we think that they are relevant for the committee to consider. Yes, Chair, I've mentioned that we're talking to the disability sector, and we're hoping that because this the awareness campaigns are a responsibility of all South Africans, and especially that they must be championed by organizations of disabled people, and that we're hoping that as we deal with the sector and the president in terms of their presidential working group, some of these issues would emerge and then a guidance would be given to all of us. We also debating the issue around the policy which the sector is involved, and also we're doing one other thing here in terms of the economics of disability, in terms of how much does it cost, you know, the country to make sure that a disabled person participate, and that we are doing that study, and we collaborate with organizations of disabled people internationally and the UN agencies in making sure that we're able to provide that information so that the issue of under budgeting of disability programs, as it was mentioned earlier in the question, is addressed effectively, so that if departments are budgeting for disability, we ensure, we make sure that that budget is appropriate. It's calculated accordingly. And that information we will also try and integrate it within the policy arrangement.
Chair, I want to say that with regards to some of the questions that you have raised, we will try and respond it formally to you and make sure that we present the document so that the committee is able to use the information appropriately. Thanks, Chair.
I don't remember. I suppose we did make a thorough engagement for today, for now. Obviously, we can't say we were enough with these issues. We'll continue to engage with time. We are going to have the disability sectors that have been requesting, and the department will be part of it. You know, for the work that you have done, as per our request, we sincerely want to thank you. And hope that the struggle to mainstream the disabled people will continue, and we have to succeed, especially just assisting government reaching 2% of their target, not of anybody's target. By all this, honourable members, ladies and gentlemen.